This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number three of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Bebfe alongside Will Hill here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. As always, you can watch us VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, and you can listen live on Sirius XM channel 158, where our game of the night tonight on VSiN Primetime between the Pirates and the Brewers, Paul Skeens on the mound. Has settled back in, I guess, here in the bottom of the fifth, but had a rough fourth, which has been the difference here in this contest. Milwaukee has a 3-0 lead. I am on the, or at least I was on, the Pirates in the first five. That bet has since lost. Will, you are currently sweating the over for the full game, over 7.5. You just need the Pirates to kind of get something rolling or to get Paul Skeens pulled out of this game here, so at least maybe the Brewers can add some more to what they've already done.
Yeah, some sort of runs would be nice from the Pirates. Hasn't happened so far. That's been a theme for Skeens through his Pirates career, whether he's pitching well or he's pitching great. They just don't seem to score for him for whatever reason. For the first couple of years, they just had a bad offense. This year, the offense is better, but just he's not himself, but the Pirates not helping him out here. 3-0, two outs in the bottom of the fifth. So the stat line's not going to look awful. At the end, 5 innings, 3 runs. Okay. It's not like, he's giving up 6 runs in the first inning as he gives up a line drive out there. So that will probably close the book on Skeens, you would think. That was a pretty quick inning, but 5 innings, 2 hits, it's not terrible, but just seems off. Doesn't seem like himself. And I would think that ends it. So we'll see if the Pirates can get something going. Other scores: Yankees and Cardinals still scoreless, bottom of the third. The Nationals took a 3-2 lead over Philly. I thought that was actually a little cheap on Philly today with no James Wood, no Garcia. I mean, that whole team, their strength is their offense, and their bullpen stinks. And if you're going to take away two big cogs of the offense, they might be a bet against team the rest of the year, and maybe they still will be. This game is far from over with that Nationals bullpen. That's actually good now that I mentioned it. What's the price on the Phillies?
Because we
got Philly here down 3-2. Let's see, minus 190. So are there guys on base? Oh, I guess there are. That's kind of blocked in the corner. They do have men on first and second. So we had the right idea, but just a little late to the party there as they got a couple guys on. And that's odd to see, Femi, when you have a team down 3-2 and they're minus favorites. But two on, nobody out. They got the extra bat here being the home team. And that Nationals bullpen is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. So maybe a chance there for those. Now it's minus 219. I'm assuming is Real Muto about to get walked here? Or I don't know what's about to happen. But minus 219 is where you can find Philadelphia. Nats plus 188 total is at 8.5. So that's what's going on around the big leagues in Major League Baseball. But, Will, we have the National Football League that is on the horizon. Regular season, a little over a month to go. Still got some time. But the preseason, my friend. Oh, baby. In less than 24 hours, we might not see NFL caliber football, but it'll be players wearing NFL uniforms.
Yes, sir.
As the Cardinals and the Panthers take off in a face-off, I should say, in Canton, Ohio for the preseason Hall of Fame game. Looking at the betting market over at DraftKings, Carolina's laying 1.5, totals at 35.5. The big news with that game, Carson Beck will be starting at quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. I believe Kenny Pickett will be starting for Carolina. How long will he play? I'm guessing like a series or two, given that it's a Hall of Fame game. But
can't have Kenny Pickett get hurt.
No, I mean, if season's out down the drain if that happens. But I'm guessing we'll see Carson Beck though for a decent chunk, maybe for the whole half, honestly, given the fact that he's a rookie. So at least there'll be some intrigue with that contest. Total's at 35.5. Any betting interest for you with this game?
No, I did notice, these are mostly hammered into place now. Caesars had some props up, first team to score, last team to score, last team to score in the first half. And you get some plus 125, plus 130 on Arizona, where anything with a plus price to me is a good bet because it's a coin flip. It's a coin flip game. It should be like minus 110 both ways, unless you're betting something that's a three-way line. But no feel here. I mean, I do like if you can get those 1.5s. And I don't know, are there 1.5 still there? It's mostly pick 'em.
Yeah, I see 1.5. DraftKings is a 1.5.
If they let you tease it, I mean, I know it's preseason, but to me, preseason, it's pretty low variance. These games are usually close and low scoring, and you're essentially getting a two possessions with the dog. So I know you're tying up your money and you're tying up your teasers for a while, but no play for me. I do like betting the preseason, and obviously, like you mentioned, study the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks that run are usually good things because you get some really shaky offensive lines. And you know what? When in doubt, 3rd and 7, pockets collapsing, that guy that can just tuck it and run and he's trying to, you know, fight for his job. That's a good thing. But nothing for me here. If I made you bet this game, which would be a weird thing to make you do. Side total, you have to bet something. What would you be betting? Or are you just, is this a coin flip?
Almost sounds like punishment.
Yes.
It's like, if I made you bet the Hall of Fame game, you don't have to make me do anything because I actually do like the under in this game.
Okay. Yeah,
I do like the under. 35.5 is the number right now. I know, obviously, like a lot of the trends, like, oh, preseason unders, the Hall of Fame game.
Three units, four units. What are we doing? I'm in. Yeah, let's go.
Maybe five. No. we'll go half size, not even half, honestly, like a quarter unit just to feel something with some football on. But I mean, I look at the quarterbacks, like you mentioned, like Carson Beck's going to get a lot of time. I'm assuming probably a half because they have Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew, and then Carson Beck, and then you have, I think, Caden Slovis, yes, as your fourth string quarterback. So it's likely, what, one half Beck, one half Slovis, or maybe three quarters Beck, one quarter Slovis, however Mike LaFleur wants to do it in his first year as a head coach. But it's going to be a lot of young quarterbacks, and Beck, maybe he turns out good, but I don't think he's going to look good with all these terrible players around him. So I like the under from that aspect, and I also like it too from Carolina's aspect to where, I mean, Pickett's likely to play a series or two. After him, welcome to the Haynes King show, which Haynes King is a good athlete.
Yeah.
But also, like, he has terrible guys around him.
Yeah.
To where I think this ends up just being a lower scoring, ugly game with two, like, young rookie. Because I like the mobile guys, like Jalen Milroe, for instance, for the Seahawks. That's my kind of mobile quarterback because what? He's a veteran. He's not a rookie. He's been in the system.
Right.
He at least understands, like, he's played in the preseason before. These guys that are like rookies, like, okay, here's Haynes King or here's now Carson Beck and all that stuff, like good athletes and all that, but they're just not used to it. There could be some nerves as well playing in their first ever NFL games. It screams under to me, just given the fact that these quarterbacks are not very good. And I mean, I was never a big Carson Beck fan at college. I'm not going to be looking to bet him to do good stuff in the NFL. Like, so it's an under for me with this game.
For years, this was an under fest. It was almost like Army Navy. You couldn't make it low enough.
Yeah.
And like anything, all trends come to an end. Word gets out.
People catch up.
Last year was 34-7. The Chargers beating the Lions. That game went over. We've had some overs. I think 2 years ago. 2 years ago, there was like a 49er game that got canceled middle of the game. There was some storm or something.
Oh, God. I mean, there's been so many. Because I remember there was 1 year where it was Packers, Raiders.
And they just canceled the game.
There was the turf was messed up or something like that 1 year. And then there's been years where, like, there was a storm that came through. They were just like, what's the point?
But there's been some overs recently to the point where for years this was under. But the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, it's actually trended more towards the over. But maybe now is the time to, you know, zig where, all right, it's been unders for so long and people were on it. And then, you know, eventually the over S and value, now maybe they've overcorrected. So where are we at now? 35?
35.5.
Key number, obviously 5 touchdowns. So
yeah.
5 touchdowns and another score. I don't mind that look there towards the under.
You said it was Chargers Lions last year. That was our Hall of Fame game. Now I'm going to go all the way back and look at the box score, because I believe that was when we had either a quarterback competition in Detroit. The Lions were trying to accomplish something with that game. So, yeah, it was Kyle Allen versus Hendon Hooker. Both guys were terrible. And then you had Trey Lance, who, like, I mean, Trey Lance has played in regular season games. Like, the Hall of Fame game, he's going to look like a damn All-Pro.
Yeah.
And then DJ Uiagalelei. But Lance played for much of that game, which that probably lends to the over there. Like, Lance is a veteran, even though he's not good, like, when he plays other veteran NFL
Lombardi's
players,
guy, Trey Lance.
He famously.
He had a lot of guys. Trey Lance was one of them.
Just ask him about Trey Lance MVP. Yes. I'm sure he'll talk to you about that one for hours. But, like, in that game, Lance was 13-20 for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, like, in these games where it's like, okay, like, these teams are trying to Carolina just wants to get the hell out of town.
Yeah.
Arizona, I'm sure they would like to get reps for Carson Beck, but they know Jacoby Brissett's going to be their starting quarterback. Like, they're not looking to accomplish anything in this game. Just more so the accomplishment is get Beck some live bullets and let's get out of this thing healthy. When that's the approach, I think it leads to an under. So under 35.5.
I can't wait until it's, you know, 3rd and 13, incomplete pass, get off the field. I'm all excited. And then you see, what's all flag, illegal contact, first down. No. And the first time you just see this and the curse words start flowing. I mean, that's how you know the NFL is back. When you get the first kind of ticky-tacky, roughing the passer or illegal contact that kind of derails a bet or makes a bet sweatier than it needs to be, that's when you know football is back. So I'm sure it won't take too long.
Oh my gosh. It's like, we're off the field. Yeah. Actually, we're not. Defense stay on the field, because on 3rd and 17, it's a 5-yard penalty automatic first down. Just, it's so sickening. Like, it really, like, and that's what people during the World Cup were like, oh, offsides is terrible. Off the, like, okay, like, it's third and 18 now, a 5-yard penalty, yeah, automatic. Like, all these sports have these weird, finicky rules. If you came up with those sports, you get used to them, you adapt to them, you just realize that's what comes with the dinner. You know, like, oh, like, here's how I would fix soccer. How about you fix the NFL first before you go fix soccer? Like, call up the competition committee and ask them why every defensive penalty outside of offsides is an automatic first down.
Like, will you be watching all of this game? Some of this, I'm going to imagine you watch some of it. And you have a bet on it, so you probably watch most of it, some of it, all of it.
I think I will, like, watch, like, in terms of being engaged with it for, like, probably the first three drives.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be background noise for the rest of the night, likely. And then, yeah, I'll probably just go background noise. Like, cause since I'll have a full game bet on it, I'm not going to, like, switch to something else. But, like, if I'm in the office, I'll probably have it on this TV that doesn't have audio, and I'll be, like, watching something else. But if I'm just, like, out in the living room or in the entertainment room where there's only one TV, I'll just have it on and just probably be scrolling my phone throughout the whole
thing.
Was
this Tirico and Collins?
I have no idea who's even there in the game. Find out. Like, I don't even know. NBC. So maybe it is Tirico Collinsworth. Okay. I mean, my gosh, like, go from doing, like, the NBA playoffs and the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, to here's Canton, Ohio, Panthers and Cardinals.
I like that it's back, though. I can't wait.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm having a bet on it. A bet on a football game. Imagine that. Haven't done that since the Super Bowl. Hopefully it goes much better than that did for me. We'll talk some NFL news and notes, though. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. VSiN Primetime rolling along here on a Wednesday night. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill here with you guys on the Sports Betting Network. Brewers have a 3-0 lead right now on the Pirates in the top of the sixth. Hey, the Pirates at least have a base runner. They got that going for them.
Congrats.
I mean, like, at this point, hang the banner with how inept their offense has been against Milwaukee. You thought that maybe you'd see Harrison for a little bit longer because he had been humming along.
Left with the trainer.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I missed it. We got the game on in front of us, but we're not, like, looking at it every second. But I guess he left with a trainer, and he hadn't pitched since early in July. So who knows? Re-aggravated something, hurt that's something new, but that's never a good thing. You just hope, you know, maybe it's precautionary. But look, Brewers missed out on Skubal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mizorowski's great. But after him, you know,
nobody that you trust.
No, and you can blame the pitching, but last year against the Dodgers, 4-game sweep, they scored 4 runs the entire series. So that offense, it's just, you could say, and in Major League Baseball, I think there's this notion, almost this misperception that you got to be able to play small ball. You got to manufacture runs, which that always helps to have that aspect, but you got to hit, you got to slug in the playoffs because it's hard off these good pitchers to string together 3, 4, 5 hits in a row and rally that way. You got to just, you know what, get a guy on and have somebody hit the ball where the grass doesn't grow. You need to hit home runs in the playoffs.
I mean, that was kind of like the Seattle Mariners approach last year in the postseason, right? It's like, hey, Cal Raleigh's been hitting all these home runs. It's like, hey, like, this is exactly what you want in the postseason that fell short, obviously. But, like, that's how you want to be able to score in multiples, not just, like you mentioned, manufacture runs and sort of small ball your way to it. So, yeah, Milwaukee, if only they had a chance to get a big arm in at the deadline, I guess maybe they would be in a better spot. I'm never going to let that go. Like, I'm sorry. Unless they win the World Series this year, then they can all shove it in my face and say, hey, we won without Skubal. But, like, come on. Like, go for it. Be a man. Don't be a coward. The Red Sox, they're up 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh against the White Sox.
Never lose.
I mean, they don't. Like, what, 24-3 in their last 27?
I mean, you keep thinking, you know, it's not sustainable. They'll cool off. It looks like Brazoban is in the new addition, the new acquisition here for the White Sox, just acquired from the Mets. He is in for Chicago. And if you're Chicago and you got some of these longer shot tickets to win the Central, Cleveland kind of loaded up. Cleveland loaded up at the deadline. So it's going to be, you got some good race. I know once football takes over, we're just talking about the Hall of Fame game. Once football takes over, it's all football all the time. But American League East, that's a hell of a race. AL Central looks like a good race. AL West, I mean, the Rangers and the Mariners have certainly showed their warts, but that's still a competitive race. They include all three teams in there. So the NL races, I don't think the divisions are going to be as interesting. Probably Braves in the East. You'd think Milwaukee in the Central and then the Dodgers in the West. The wild card's fun, but I know once the calendar flips to September, we're all crazed about football, but these pennant races are really good. Good theater and fun to watch.
Was hoping to see Chicago do a little bit more at the deadline. You know, like they traded for Luis Castillo.
It's just not a lot out there. I mean, we talk about there's not that many sellers. It's like, all right, you got the Rockies, the Giants, the Angels, the A's, the Mets. There's like six or seven teams. Everyone else is in the mix. It's not like it was 10, 15 years ago where only you had the four playoff teams. You had the three division winners, the one wild card. That would be a more of a line in the sand, who's in, who's out, and there's more to pick from. Now it's like there's just – and the teams that are sellers, well, we're the only sellers, so we're going to really hold your feet to the fire. It's not like there weren't a lot of deals. There were still a lot of deals, but you don't get outside of Skubal, Skubal's a huge splash.
Yeah.
Mason Miller didn't go. Nope. And everyone's just like, oh, Yankees will get Ryan Jeffers, the catcher from the Twins. Well, the Twins are tied for a playoff spot. Why are they just going to give their catcher away? And, Goodman for the Rockies, he's got a lot of team control, so I'm sure the Rockies want a lot. So bottom line, when there's not a lot of sellers, there's just it's going to hurt the deals and hurt the big time. Just what's out there. Nobody wanted Devers' contract. I don't think nobody wanted Chapman's contract. Arias did go for Philly, and I think he hit a home run tonight for the Phillies. That'll be a weird fit defensively, but that's a guy who can hit.
Yeah, I was going to say, Adley Rutschman, probably the only reason why he went is because Baltimore is pretty much set at catcher, right? With Samuel Basayo or whatever. Like Rutschman was kind of like platooning anyway. So it's like, okay, we'll give him up. Otherwise, these guys are just not going anywhere. So, I guess we can criticize and say, what did you do? But also, people have to be willing to sell to you if you want to buy something. So a lot of people are in it, which is fun. I do like having more teams in the mix because it's like there's just more relevant baseball on as opposed to like, okay, there's maybe an active trade deadline, but there's like eight teams that you have to pay attention to the rest of the way, as opposed to now there's only like eight teams that you can just kind of push off to the side.
Contreras looks like he just left the building for Milwaukee, and boy, both those Contreras, they will let you know when they hit the ball out of the ballpark. he watched that one, William Contreras, the 11th home run of the year, as he is dancing around the bases, doing all sorts of gesturing and swords and who knows what, and good he is him. Taking his time, but it is 4-0 Brewers with the lead. Is he still going? Yeah, looks like a WWE wrestler out there.
He's putting the crown on the head. Yes. He's dapping up everybody, and then he's saluting at home. I mean, my goodness. But hey, it's hard to hit a home run, I guess. go ahead and do your thing. It's like, act like you've been here before. Damn it, it's hard to get here.
I've never been here before.
Exactly. It is, I've been here, but it is hard to get here. So I will say, he was pimping that thing. He was. He was admired.
I mean, the over-under for like histrionics and gestures in that home run, seven and a half. That over might have cashed. He's pointing at everybody. It's the old line from Major League 2 when Willie Mays Hayes calls his shot. And what was it? The announcer, one of the fans, goes, "Does he know somebody out there?" I mean, Contreras is pointing at everybody.
He dropped not even a bat flip, more of a bat drop, like in a stylish way. Then does like the call of the phone, and then is pointing at this guy. Then round it. Yeah, that was something for sure from William Contreras. His brother's over. He's doing work for the Red Sox, right? Yeah. Wilson. He's out here putting in work. So the Contreras brothers getting it done. With two teams, maybe they'll meet in the World Series, and it'll be my World Series from hell, Milwaukee and Boston. My Twitter mentions might be on fire at that point. But if that's the case, I'll just focus on football. Speaking of which, earlier this afternoon, I'm at the point with this story, I'm just like, just sign the guy already. That is Rams retired defensive tackle, Aaron Donald. Worked out officially with the Rams today. Now, they had to report this one to the NFL Wire because apparently, and this is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, that the Rams used Rams team equipment at their facility during the training camp, which required them to report the activity to the NFL. Donald, I guess, wanted to work out with a helmet as opposed to just like working out as he usually does. So it's an official workout. Aaron Donald with the Rams. We obviously have been saying it's a matter of when, not if. I feel like the signing, how would you hand it? By the end of the week, Aaron Donald joins the Rams?
I mean, does he want to go through all this training? Yeah, I mean, it's just,
they're probably not going to make, even if he signs, we're going to say, hey, Aaron, now time to do up downs. Like, right. I mean, like, yeah. They'd be like, it's the Rams. They're going to, he'll be out there load managing his way into the fold. I feel
it's coming. It's coming soon. We'll see what he has left. It's been what? 3 years out of the game, 2 years out of the game. It's been a couple.
At least three. Yeah. He was almost eligible for the Hall of Fame.
And that's about as long as you'll see somebody be out. I mean, we saw like Gronk miss a year. I think 2019, he retired and unretired with Brady in 2020. So if we could pull up the Rams schedule, I think the one concern for the Rams early on would be there's a lot of travel, short weeks. They play in Australia. Yep. There's there's some concerns from that perspective with the Rams. But other than that, I mean, unless Stafford gets hurt, it's hard to poke holes in this team. What would you say the weakness for the Rams is other than, and you can always point to, hey, your quarterback might get hurt, which can apply to anybody.
Yeah.
And they do have an older quarterback. What would you say is sort of the flaw, or potential flaw with the Rams?
It's obviously nitpicky, but like that's probably like O-line depth, maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe the offensive line is not like this. Like this isn't the Eagles offensive line from a couple of years ago. You know, like, so like that would probably be where you can maybe poke some holes in this team. But skill position guys, they have it. At quarterback, they got the reigning MVP. Pass rush, they have Myles Garrett. They're about to add Aaron Donald. They still have Braden Fisk. Like they have Byron Young. They have talented players.
We got the schedule there. You know, in Australia, then the Giants on Monday night. And then they play at Denver on a short week on a Sunday night where you only have, I mean, that's a lot of miles right there. Then at Philly and then the Bills. That's not the easiest first five games when you consider opponents and you consider the travel.
Do you worry about Stafford's age? Just like maybe we've seen the best of Matthew Stafford.
I mean, he was pretty good last time we saw him. I mean, that's not that long ago. You never know when this stuff is going to turn. But
I'd
say a mild concern.
Because like that, because like, health aside, like let's say
he's your boy. I forgot you're not a Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can acknowledge he's a really good player. He's a great player. He deserves to go in the Rams Ring of Honor. He is not a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. Like we've seen what Hall of Famers look like
with a ticket to the Ring of Honor, or he gets it for free.
He can get to the Ring of Honor
give
for
him a
free.
Discount, like
I'll give him a discount.
Employee discount.
Put his name up there. Whose house? Rams house. He can do the whole shebang. He can do it all. Canton? No, that phone's not ringing. But what I was saying in terms of Stafford, like we just don't know when it happens with these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady was phenomenal in, what was it, 2021?
Yeah.
And then 2022 comes and then like the Bucs limp to the finish line and like they barely win the division. Like he had fallen off a cliff. Like we saw Peyton Manning in 2015. He fell off of a cliff. Like these quarterbacks, there's usually not warning signs. It's usually, oh, this guy's really good. He's really
Peyton
good.
Peyton Manning's the ultimate example. Yeah. Peyton Manning went from awesome to, oh my God.
It's like, he can't even grip the football.
No.
Like it just happens like that. That would be my one concern with this team, like big concern at least, is that have we seen the best of Matthew Stafford? And worst case, is it going to get really bad really quickly? Because if that happens in that division, maybe it's a disastrous season for LA. We'll be back with more VSiN Primetime on the other side.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is right around the corner, and just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stat, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50. This is VSIN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, here with you guys on this Wednesday night. I want to remind folks, if you missed out on the Circa Survivor documentary, episode 3, you can check that out on VSIN's YouTube page. You also feel free to hang out with us. You don't have to run over there right now. You can hang with us here on VSIN Primetime. Watch it maybe after the program or later on this weekend. I'm a product of the binge environment now, to where I think like I'm waiting for them all to load up and I could just binge watch them all at once. That's kind of what my strategy is going to be here with the Circus Survivor documentary. I do believe, though, just from doing the reads last week, I think this might have been the Niners over Rams Thursday night episode, and also the Amari DiMarcado episode.
Ooh, tough week. That's just tough. week.
Amari DiMercato might go down as like in like Circa Survivor fame. Like, yes. He's on like the Mount Rushmore for Circa Survivor.
Fame is one word for it.
Yeah, there's another F word as well. But he is like, when you think of the Circa Survivor contest, you think of Amari DiMercato, the Bengals.
Was it 21-6 as he's running in the end zone untouched?
I forgot the score.
I think it was. We could probably find it.
I just remember rooting like hell for Tennessee. Like, just because I was like, I was not on Arizona. So I was like, get these dudes out of here. Like, oh, Arizona's laying like 10 points or whatever it was. And I was like, that seems insane. Also very risky to pick a team like that. But hey, I mean, everyone has the answers after the fact. So no judgment here by me. But I just remember rooting for Tennessee to win that game like crazy. So Amari DiMercato, he's good in my household. I didn't win the contest, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But I do remember rooting for him to be a fool, and he was.
And there was so much that had to happen after that, yes. Where there was an interception by the Cardinals. Where, all right, you take a deep breath, you relax, you're good. They get stripped. Titans recover it. Mm-hmm. Arizona had the. I mean, there was like 100 different things that all had to go a certain way, and you know what? They all went a certain way, and that's one where it was early enough where. I mean, anytime you lose Survivor, it's so painful. It's early enough. Like, if that happened in November, December, yeah. You sit in a dark room for like weeks at a time before you can recover. But oh, man, that's a brutal, brutal way to go out.
Like, now I'm on the fly. Like, I'm trying to build out like the Circus Survivor Mount Rushmore for just like destroying entries. Amari DiMercato has to be on there, yeah. Just because of like how like the nonsense that was. The Bengals, just as an entity, yes. Are on there.
The September Bengals.
The 2022 Buccaneers as a whole.
The good one.
They belong. Because like there were so many. I think they lost as double-digit favorites back-to-back weeks that season.
Yeah,
like,
it was like
they lost to Pittsburgh and they lost to Carolina. Like, that was Brady's last season when they were just dreadful. Of course, Brady's last game famously against the Dallas Cowboys where they got killed. But I'm trying to think of like another. Tweet us at VSIN Live, at Not The Will Hill, at Femi Bebefe on Twitter. Like, what is your Circa Survivor, just Mount Rushmore of just nonsense that you have seen in the, 7 years Circa Survivor's been going on, I believe? Like, 6-7 years? It's been incredible.
Thanksgiving week as a whole last year, the three. Yeah, I mean, I forget honestly. What that 14 money line parlay paid. I think it was like 100-something to 1. Where, I mean, what was
yeah,
it? It was Packers, Lions.
Packers, Cowboys.
Which were 3-point spreads. Those weren't huge spreads, I don't think. And then Bengals was a decent. Touchdown. And then the next day, the Bears was a touchdown.
Yeah, the Bears was over a touchdown.
But
I
hey,
want to
a
say.
Four-leg parlay when you're like 3-3, 7-7. I mean, that's quite a four-leg parlay.
That is
money lines.
That is something serious. If you can get that one. I mean, like, I always, every Sunday, I always kind of mess around and put together like a little, like, you know, like oh, I'll put like $100 on like a little like underdog money line parlay or something like that. Just like, and like, it's not like I'm not taking like 10-point dogs. It's more so like, oh, like they're catching 3.5. So yeah. They're like +170 on the money line. Just to kind of rack something up and see if I can get through the witching hour. And sometimes it hits, and it's fun as hell when it hits. Sure. But then sometimes, obviously, most of the time, it's not going to hit. The fact that hit.
Crazy. Like,
it's just ridiculous how that Thanksgiving was. And anyone that survived it, of course, had multiple entries, were able to at least put one on the underdog. And survive Circus Survivor that way. But
remember how many people won Survivor last year? Because it wasn't one person, right?
No,
it was a bunch of people.
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm guessing it was single digits for the entries that won. But
yeah,
I never know. Usually it feels like it's always like around like 5-7
yeah.
or so entries that end up winning and making it all the way. But it's five entries, okay. Is what our producer Corey tells us. It's just so damn difficult, man. Like, it's like. Like, how it's the reason why there's like last year was 18.7 million. This year, excuse me, this year is probably going to be like north of 20 at least. Maybe we hit 22, 23 million. Like, it's an insane competition. It's a fun competition, it's an addictive competition. But once you're out of it, it is heartbreak like something that you have never felt. Like, you get knocked out, you're just like, damn. Because, like, you miss the week leading up to it and yes. Thinking about it. And strategizing, well, I want to save this team for that. I want to save this for that. Or like, what about these next few weeks? How are we going to navigate this? Oh, this guy is now out. How do we want to it's so much of like the game theory behind it that you miss that come Sunday, obviously the sweat is phenomenal, but like the game theory aspect of it is really what like, it's the punch to the gut. That first week when you're no longer involved.
When you're in it, you're the chip leader. With Circa Millions, you know what? You have a record. You're either in 48th, 30th. I mean, you have a place. But as long as you're in, you're technically in first. Now, you could say the pass, the entries. It's not quite that simple, but it's...
But it's the NFL, man. Any given Sunday.
Exactly. You're in it. You're in it. You feel like the chip leader.
100%. Obviously, we're very much looking forward to this upcoming NFL season. Looking forward to getting those Circus Survivor entries in. I'm a local, so, of course, I'm going to, like, wait till the last second to go ahead and do that. I'll probably do it maybe, like, Labor Day weekend or something like that. Just see what kind of things are floating around. I'm assuming we'll be well over the...
Seattle week one. I think you said you're looking Seattle week one.
That's kind of where I was
this
leaning.
This over, by the way, is killing me.
Oh, they're just leaving dudes on base?
Oh, all over the place. They
doubled them up.
Milwaukee at second and third, one out last inning at four runs. You figure base hit, I get to six, and now I'm in good shape. Strike out when they leave both guys. And then first and second, nobody out for Pittsburgh, and we get a ground ball double play. So it's now a man on third with two outs. So we are just leaving ducks on the pond all over the place. I feel like this happens to me a lot when I take over. I do not do well betting over.
I don't ever really do full game overs. I guess like you give yourself more outs, but of course it's baked into the price. But I mean, I just don't do a lot of full game baseball in general.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of just like, you know what? Like, let's get this over after five innings. However this goes, it'll go. And as I'm saying that, watch like the Pirates somehow come back and win this game. And it's just like, oh, great. I'm glad you won 5-4 as opposed to winning in the first five. But I'm just more so like, let's bet on the pitcher. Let's get this done. Let's see how this rolls, and then we'll figure that out after the fact. But Milwaukee's looked pretty strong. Obviously, the big news tonight apparently is that their pitcher, a guy Kyle Harrison, left with a trainer after making his return to the rotation after being on the IL. So hopefully he is okay for the stretch run for the Milwaukee Brewers. But for Pittsburgh, they continue to slip and fall in this NL wild card race. A couple of minutes left. I do want to hit on something because we're talking about the Rams in the last segment.
Yeah.
A report came out from ESPN's Dan Graziano saying that the Rams are going to travel to Australia the day before their week one game against the 49ers and depart Melbourne immediately after the game. So they're going in, out. Wow. We're getting the heck out of there. So last year, like, they played around with traveling the day before to London. They beat the Jaguars that game 35-7. Then they came back and they left right afterwards. So I guess the Rams are kind of tinkering around. Okay, like, we have to go all the way across the world, quite literally, but we're not going to try to acclimate our bodies. We're going to focus on the prep. Once we're done with the prep, then we'll go ahead and travel. We'll get there. We'll play the game, and then we'll get the heck out of town as quickly as possible. What do you make of this strategy? And from a betting standpoint, because like the Niners are going to be there the whole week. That's going to be the fascinating conversation in that lead up of, hey, the Niners have been there. They've gotten acclimated versus the Rams are kind of dropping in, dropping out.
I mean, those are the two strategies. It's usually these teams go super early or go super late. You don't want to get in that in-between period where you're kind of groggy and you get the jet lag. I don't know, honestly, what's better. If you're running a team, which, I mean, who knows?
Like, I almost wonder, are the Niners the one that are kind of in between? Because like they're going, maybe. Because like they're going for a week, but like, I mean, I guess that they have their preseason game, so they can't just hang out there.
I
think I'd want to
be in and out as a player, but I'm not an NFL player.
That's,
I don't know.
Like, because like, if you're in and out, do you even let yourself like get jet lagged? Because like your body's just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And then you just kind of like stay in your routine or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, I almost wonder, because the game will still be played at like a normal time locally stateside. Now, I don't know what time that will be.
A dinger.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
4-2. All right.
Here we go. Yeah,
now all those runners left on base really come back to bite, because now it's like, you know, a sack fly here or there, I would have been over. But hey, 4-2 in the seventh, got a little life there. As
they're going to win this game.
Not as much histrionics from whoever hit this home run.
Andy Rodriguez.
Yeah, he is not. I mean, he's taking his time here crossing the plate, but not quite what we saw from Contreras.
Yeah, he should have shown up, Contreras. I guess they're still losing, so I guess he can't do it. But what is it? That's what Michael Jordan said in The Last Dance. A real man talks trash when he's losing or the game is tied.
Yes.
You know, that was his time to talk trash. As my biggest fear might come true, and I think it will. I think the Pirates are going to win this game. Maybe we should live bet the Pirates. We'll have that conversation and talk some more NFL to wrap up hour number three next year on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, it is 4-2 Milwaukee Brewers in our VSiN Primetime game of the night. Femi Benfey, Will Hill here with you guys on VSiN. The live total, Will, 7.5.
Right, where we started.
That's right where we started, man. That's what you bet pre-flop. 7.5 is where we sit. Milwaukee -1780. The Pirates +1040. I kind of flirted with the idea as we were headed to break, thinking, hey, maybe this is a chance for Pittsburgh. It just feels like, I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of having bad luck or just down on my luck or whatever. I'm just like, I just have a funny suspicion that somehow the Pirates are going to find a way to win this game. You can get north of 10-1. I'm not necessarily recommending it. I have not made that play yet, but I'm hovering. I'll put it that way. I am kind of hovering.
What's the number right now?
+1040 at DraftKings.
Now we're going to the bottom half,
yes,
right?
We're going to the bottom side of the frame.
But hey, +1040. Have you shopped that? Could you get a little better?
I was like, let me pull up the Circa app here real quick to see if got to do this while that game is in commercial break. Otherwise, they'll yank it down. So this will be pulling up and let's see the app. Let's go ahead and put the password.
+850 at Caesars.
+850 at Caesars. So yeah. I have Circa. Let's see in game baseball. We are off the board. Why? Because we have just gotten back from commercial break. Yeah.
+850 enough for you or no?
Nah. I mean, DraftKings is giving you almost $2 more than that.
I know.
You know, it's like.
You can't bet it on DraftKings, though.
No, you cannot do that unless you drive across state line within the next 5 minutes.
Be tough.
It might be a little bit difficult. It has been done in the past, not in 5 minutes, but back when I had a little bit more time on my hands. The trip across state lines for DraftKings and FanDuel, that was made plenty of times. Nice little, you know, like 90-minute round trip. Not too bad. Just go with like a list of things. Hey, like, check this market, check this market, check this market. And then you drive across state lines, see a couple people. I don't think they're making bets. It might just be taking pit stops.
Yeah.
And then you just go out there and just go through your markets. It's like, okay, I want to bet this. Oh, Conn Smythe here. I want to bet, AL Cy Young here. They had a better number. Do this. And then that's how you get your stuff done. But now
I go through that too.
A little bit more difficult.
Massachusetts is the one for me. They have draft stuff, NBA draft, NFL draft. So
how
can't
far
do
is
it
drive?
In Connecticut. So from where I'm at to like the Springfield Mass one, it's an hour, maybe a little less. So it's okay. Not bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
But it becomes that like that push and pull of like, all right, how much do I like this bet? How
exactly.
much? Again, if it's a long number, or if you have some like intel, you think you have some intel, or if it's something you're like, you really like, yeah, you get in the car. And then if you're just like, you know mm-hmm. what, maybe I'm saving myself a trip. That Bo Nix to go in the first round a couple years ago. That was one I got in the car for.
There was one.
Our boy had that. Lombardi was all over that.
Oh, yeah. He I saw him make the bets over here at Circa. I was the Joe Flacco comeback player of the year.
Ooh, that was a good one.
So that Monday morning, me and Lombardi were doing GM Shuffle, which, by the way, check out GM Shuffle podcast, wherever you get it. Me and Marty Herney now. We were doing the GM Shuffle, and like Lombardi brought it up. Because I've kind of been thinking about it, but he brought up, he's like, oh, how is Joe Flacco not the comeback player of the year? And I think it was like, they were coming off of a loss or something like that. I think it was like one or two games into his.
Played well against the Rams, I want to say.
Played well against the Rams that game. And he's like, oh, like how is Joe Flacco not? I mean, like, this guy just came off the couch, and now he's like out here throwing for 300 plus yards.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, this is it, man. Like, because like that whole season, because like DeMar Hamlin was the big favorite going into it, but he hadn't really been playing. No. And everyone's like, Baker Mayfield had a run there for a little bit where he might win it. There was other guys that had kind of been in the conversation, but nobody really stuck. And like the Browns had been really good that season. They've been playing well. Their defense was humming along. And I'm like, I think that like if the Browns can go on a run and Flacco keeps playing like this, this is how it gets done. And I remember, I want to say I woke up that morning and Flacco was like around 150-1 or 100-1. We taped the GM Shuffle here at Circa. And by the time I get to Arizona, Flacco's down to 60, but I was like, I think he's gonna win. You know, like, I'm like, yes, like, oh, you could have had 100. Now, but I'm like, I don't care. I'm gonna bet as much as they let me bet on this, just because I feel so good about this potential story and the run out. And like, there's guys that, I mean, like Cooper Kupp was ahead of him. Like nobody's talking about him, even though he's playing all right. So I bet Flacco 60-1. I'm like, okay, this is who I'm going. I have a bunch of Mayfield. I have a bunch of Flacco. Like, I don't have any DeMar Hamlin. I had a little bit of DeMar Hamlin from like the spring. Like he was like -125 or something like that. I was like, okay, like I'll just bet this, put this in the pocket. We'll see what happens. But at that point, I'm like, he's not playing. So I don't think he's going to win, even though people want to vote for him because he came back, but he was not a consistent like story about the season or whatever. And then Flacco has an awesome game against Houston and then goes and then has a great game Thursday night against the Jets. And that's when like Cleveland, everything came through with like Garrett defensive player of the year.
Stunk in the playoffs, coach. But the votes were already in.
Votes are in. We're good.
Sorry.
Yeah. Houston part two. It did not go well.
Doors closed.
It did not go well, but you know what? Pencils were down, ballots were cast and it was all good. But yeah, Cleveland cleaned house that award season, you know, with Miles Garrett, Stefanski, Flacco. I don't know. Maybe Andrew Berry won executive of the year that year. I don't know. I think they it was Schwartz won assistant coach is what happened. But they won coach and assistant coach with Schwartz, and his defense was so good. But yeah, man.
Got Anderson defensive play. Rookie of the year. That was That was a fat number late. That was good. It doesn't always work out that way, but that was a good award cycle.
It was like white hot. Just everything. Boom, 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 boom. And then you want to talk about like a stretch run of like 12 months. So like that's how the football season ends. So then we go into baseball and Judge gets off to the slow start. So now Aaron Judge is like 25-1, 20-1 to win AL MVP. I remember
we were texting about that a lot.
Like every time he would homer, I just kept adding more and more and more and more. And I like walked it all the way down until like, I think early June when he finally became the favorite. I'm like, I have so much Aaron Judge. And the whole season was just like, please, Bobby Witt Jr., don't like go like 50-50 or something.
Gunnar Henderson was in the mix.
Soto was like the favorite for a little bit early on because he had come out
great
hot.
April. Great
he was
April.
Awesome in April. And everyone's like, oh, Soto, this. And like, because like Judge was hurt for a lot of spring training. So like he kind of even treated April like spring training. And then like once he found his groove, I mean, that season was ridiculous given the fact that he had like an 11 war season giving the rest of the league like a head start.
Yeah.
You know, he was insane that year. Hit him, hit Shohei, because Shohei was just hitting. He was recovering from Tommy John.
Yep.
So Shohei was like, oh, like this will be the year he doesn't win. Actually, it's the year he's going to go 50-50. So I had like a bunch of Shohei at like 15-1, 10-1. And then Mookie Betts ended up getting hurt. So then like that ends up cashing. It was an unbelievable run, which I don't know if I'll ever duplicate that ever again. Likely not. But man, it was. Took it to the next level. That's for sure.
Why we do it. That's why we do it.
But you drive across state lines, folks.
It's why we have those runs.
it's why you lift all them weights, right? As Bill Parcells said.
Underway, by the way, Arizona and San Diego. Casey Mize, our first look, former number one overall pick in a Padres uniform. Not starting out great for him. The first two Diamondbacks have reached base. Perdomo is up now with two on, nobody out in the bottom of the first. San Diego obviously did not score in the top of the first. And I didn't see if we got a score in Seattle and Detroit. I don't think scoreless.
I know
that was a pretty quick top half of the first with Wu on the mound, and it looks like we are going to the top of the second.
I was going to say, it might have been a quick bottom of the first, too, as we're already into the second inning. Total is at 6.5 between the Tigers and the Mariners. Mariners still minus 155, Tigers plus 135 there. So all the baseball is out there. Some final scores, though. To update you guys on some stuff that happened earlier this evening. The Orioles, of course, beat the Angels 5-2. Reds beat the Athletics 3-2. Red Sox, they got another victory. They shut out the White Sox 4-0. Braves beat the Marlins 4-1. We are, though, in extras in Philadelphia. Nationals, Phillies tied at 3 in the top of the 10th. We're also in extras in Cleveland, where the Mets have a 6-5 lead in the bottom of the 10th against the Guardians. The Manfred man on second with one out here for the Cleveland Guardians. Cardinals are up 3-0 on your New York Yankees. Brewers still lead 4-2 against the Pirates, and the Royals, like you mentioned, up 2-1 against the Minnesota Twins. So that's the baseball that is happening right now. Is there a football futures bet? And we'll talk some more football to begin the next hour. Is there a football futures bet that you're kind of like sitting on, or like almost like a take that you're manifesting for this upcoming season that might be a little spicy for people?
I like the Vikings 5-1, a little over 5-1 to
I'm with you on that.
Win the division. If you really want spicy, 22-1 to be the one seed. Ooh. I think it reminds me a little bit of the year 2 years ago with Darnold. First off, they avoid the Rams. They avoid the Seahawks. Flores is going to give you a very high floor defensively. From all reports, Caleb Banks, the rookie from Florida, boomer bust guy, really talented, but hurt a lot, has been very impressive in camp. Take camp stories with a grain of salt, but he's a monster talent. I just think there's a lot of weapons. I think people forget Murray was a pretty good quarterback. Arizona's a dysfunctional franchise.
Took him to the playoffs.
He took him to the playoffs, and he doesn't have to be, you know, Mahomes or Allen. If he can be a B-C-plus quarterback, I mean, they won 9 games last year with awful quarterback play. Yeah. I like Minnesota. I know famous last words, but I think that's a team that could win, you know, 11, 12 games in surprise.
Now, I'm drinking the purple Kool-Aid as well this upcoming season because I'm in lockstep with you. People forget that roster's really, really good.
Yes.
They just had a terrible quarterback, and now they don't have a terrible quarterback. He's just okay, which is all they need to win a lot of games. Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson. It's back starting on Sunday. Once the primetime games wrap, the real breakdown is just getting started. Dustin's serving up best bets, key angles, and real conversation. No fluff, just what you need before tomorrow's slate. Watch Cashing Out this Sunday at 10 Eastern, then weeknights at 11 right here on VSiN. Hour number four when we come back.